Vittoria Christi is a lay missionary association. It's an organization that was founded in 1960. I suppose it's about being Jesus to others in the world. But not everybody sees it that way. Sometimes it's a journey that takes place while they're overseas. So if they're working, say, with a religious congregation overseas, and they're journeying with the poor and the marginalized, and they're not just doing a job, it suddenly becomes something more of something at a deeper level, I suppose. And I suppose that's and then there's often a desire to do something at a deeper level. I mean, my own experience, for example, when I was overseas, I didn't necessarily go over as a lay missionary. In fact, I would have called myself a development worker. But having experienced the poverty, and I was in South Africa working with street people and street children, and I would have been working with the poorest of the poor, having come from a very well-paid upper, you know, middle-class job in London, and suddenly in a situation where everything is different, it changes your life. It fundamentally says, you know, this is life-changing.
Did you ever go back to your well-paid job in London, or was that it for you? Did you decide this is my calling, this is where I'm going?
Oh no, absolutely. I decided that my well-paid job in public relations was not for me anymore. I couldn't go back knowing that there was a society that exists. They get up in the morning, they go to bed in the evening if they have a bed, but it's at a totally different level to the one that I was used to. And it's seeing people and absolute poverty and realizing that there's nobody else but you to help them. Being on the front line all the time, if you weren't there, who was going to look after them? Because I, at the time, was dealing with things that I had never dealt with in my life. Things like people being raped, people getting TB, guy in our house was murdered. And I came out of a very secure and environment, and I'm suddenly thrown into this situation where everything is being thrown at you, and you have to, at times, you just really, you know, have to grasp at things and what matters in life, and that's where the conversion takes place, I think.
What kind of help would you be giving? I mean, if people are living this life and they're living, and maybe they know that life best, does an outsider coming in always help them? Sometimes when you go to volunteer initially, you know, it takes a while before you can actually be useful. Of service or useful, you know, as you say, you're coming from a comfortable background, and then you're dealing with people who could be looking at you thinking, well, this guy hasn't got a clue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, those are the sort of thoughts that go through your head. I remember leaving on the plane going out, because I was going to South Africa, and I was wondering whether I'd be racist. You know, it's a simple thing, but I mean, that was coming from a society where there wasn't very much diversity in the 90s or the late 80s, you know, I was questioning myself, would I be able to relate, or would I be a racist? I mean, that was a fundamental question that was going on in my head as I left the airport in Dublin. And as it turned out, I put that thing to bed very quickly. I became great friends with lots of different people and lots of different race groups in South Africa. And I think the challenge then was I a help or a hindrance? I burnt out. I burnt out within 6 months. I was burnt out. So I had given all that it was to give. And then I realized that, you know, that I have to be careful of myself as much as anything else. But I think the fact that I was living and working with the youth in question, that it was, that you could not be of support, I think, because you were journeying with. It wasn't as if I was working for them. I was working with them. I was living with and eating with them at the table and going to church with them or whatever it was, you know. So I don't think I was in the way, but I think they gave me far more than I possibly could give them. I worked with kids on the street, and you know, the outreach children that we worked with, you'd go home on a wet evening, having worked with them in a centre, and they had to leave and go back onto the street, and I was going back to my house and a nice warm bed. Those are the sort of things. Or that when there's unrest in the townships, and you know that you have your passport, you know that you can get out. So it's a surreal sense of being journeying with, when you know at the end of the day that you can always get out.
Yeah, I mean, you talked there about you had burnout after 6 months, yeah. And I presume then you had to take yourself out of the situation for a while, or you had to remove yourself. But for people who are living that life all the time, they were constantly perhaps in burnout, but there was nowhere to go.
Yes, no, absolutely. And I think I learned an awful lot in terms of personal coping skills and what I should be doing and what I shouldn't be doing. And but I was literally thrown in the deep end. I think I went away for a retreat, not because I was particularly religious or anything, but only just I wanted to sleep. The house where I was wasn't possible. So I went on a Friday and I slept until the Monday. But at the end of the day, it's what made me. And I remember when I was in London, I worked in London, and I used to get upset about the homeless. And I'd always, you know, as I worked in the city, and I would be talking about the homeless and, you know, the need to do something. And my friends would say, Shane, but you don't know anything about homeless, you know. You've got a nice job, your nice car, your nice blah, 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 blah. And I said to myself, but I'm going to find out. I'm going to immerse myself and so I can answer that criticism. And that's what I did. And that was what a driving factor for me was, to be able to speak from experience, to walk in the shoes, which I think Pope Francis uses that expression.
Was it a religious, was it a faith-driven thing that drove you to do that? Or was it just a sense of compassion or sense of injustice? And then when you came back, how did it impact on your faith, or did it have any impact on your faith?
Yeah, I think it was a faith. It was a sort of an understanding, to whom much is given, much is expected. The understanding that we've been given a lot in our lives and it's important to give back. There was no lived faith in it, I suppose. It was just a feeling that that's what I'd like to do. A feeling that I would like to share with others. That gradually developed and gradually, you know, developed in my own life. And I suppose the fact that I was working with religious priests, I was working with the Salesian Order in Cape Town, it was slowly but surely becoming a part of my life as well. But when I came back to Ireland, I mean, I spent 10 years out there. And when I came back to Ireland, everything had changed within church. It was a different country. When I came back, I was looking at working in development projects or homeless projects, or none of them were calling to me. I felt that, yes, we've got our issues here, but it's nothing like what I had to deal with out there. What I did begin to realize was that church was in need of support. That's where I saw my future. I said, I can try now. I'll translate some of the development processes and ideas and the understanding of building community and try and translate it into church building. And that's what I did when I came back.
And that's, I guess, why you've become involved with Viatoris Christi. Do you promote now the work that you did and maybe try to encourage others to take that same journey, in particular in terms of social justice projects?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, our organization is about taking people where they're at. So traditionally, we were a Catholic organization purely. And I felt very strongly that we needed to be open to all faiths, all Christian faiths anyway, in the sense of the understanding that we are disciples of Christ. And so everybody is open. Everybody is welcome to VC now. And so what we try to do is to say, take you where you're at. And this is a journey. And some people have a faith motivation. Some people have a social justice. But we don't stuff anything down anybody's neck. It's not like that. And it should never have been like that, because Jesus was never like that. So we're inclusive organization, and I try to model the training programs and the work that we do with the people, the volunteers, the trainees that come to us. We try to model that sort of process so that when they go in the field, that they will be.
Well, I mean, did you yourself feel, as you say, you mentioned that you were thrown in at the deep end? Do you try to make sure now that people going out aren't quite as thrown in as you were?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And a major part of our course is about preparation and being able to share those sort of experiences and, you know, things like boundaries and things like self-care. And the whole course is very geared up now towards trying to position people as if they're going out into the field and giving them the skills that they need. So not just from a personal self-caring position, but also in terms of the development tools that are demanded now, like project cycle management tools and monitoring and evaluation and all of those things which are necessary now, because they're all, we have to be able to describe our outcomes and be able to justify money which is coming from Irish Aid and so forth. So it's a skill in itself, and some of the missionaries or some of the religious particularly would be challenged by trying to put everything into boxes, and I'm challenged myself in some respects, because you don't always follow the log frame when you're doing work in the field. It's Yeah. It's difficult.
It's one thing being in at the coal face and another thing to, you know, be filling in a box for how money's going to go or where things are going to be
your
spent.
Inputs and your outputs and your what you're going to do when and how you're going to do it. And, you know, when you're in the field in particular, it doesn't work like that. And when your internet isn't working and when your computers have died and you've got nobody to, it's very difficult unless you've worked in the field to know actually how difficult it is and what you're expecting people to do. I think everybody that is involved in this from a supplier, including ourselves, needs to take a rain check on these issues.
And for people who are listening now and maybe who would like to get involved with Viatoris Christi, maybe tell us how they can join up or why Viatoris Christi might be for them as opposed to another volunteer organisation.
I would say if you're interested in volunteering, and volunteering is means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. You know, a lot of people say, I don't have any skills. You know, I've been a businessman or a banker or I've been whatever. Everybody has skills to share. And it's just about finding what those things are, because we've had biomedical engineers working in St. Damien's Hospital in Haiti, fixing incubators and, you know, very important equipment that they would have been lying idle if we didn't have somebody like his skills. We've had marketeers. You can mold the skills to suit the project in so many ways. And a lot of people, once they go out into the field, they realize that they really do and really can share. And they also get a stipend, you know, we also pay for flights and return airfares, and we the vaccinations and all the necessary things. So you're not going to make fortunes on it, but you're not going to be broke either. And that's I think people don't realize that they have to do it for nothing. There is this understanding that if we can anyway, we will supply the a living allowance for that program.